Good morning. This is probably one of my favorite scriptures. I love the book of Colossians. We're in a two-part mini-series called New Beginnings, and this is the second part. And we're thinking about how we're going to be individually and collectively as we move forward together into the next season on all that comes with it. Literally the fall, but beyond that, school starting, the election cycle, and choosing new church leadership. We come to church on Sundays to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus and unite with the body of Christ. We come to church on Sunday to be refueled by God's goodness and to remember who Jesus was and how he lived so that we might live like him. At the end of the passage we've just heard, Paul says, "Let every detail of your lives, words, actions, whatever, be done in the name of Jesus." But the entirety of Colossians 3 is telling us exactly how to do that. Jesus' invitation to follow him was radical. It wasn't just a call to attend church or read the Bible. It was an invitation to a transformative relationship. In Matthew 4:19, Jesus said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." This call is not just about learning from Jesus, but becoming like him. Being a disciple means more than knowledge, it means transformation. The Greek word for disciple, mathetes, implies a learner or student, but it also means a devoted follower who imitates their teacher. Jesus didn't just want people to know about him, he wanted them to live like him. Last week, in the first part of our New Beginning series, we centered around the idea that we need to constantly be renewing our minds in order to be in tune with God's will, be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Students are getting ready for school, and the first few weeks of school are probably feel like a time of renewing their minds because they've got to dust the cobwebs out of their brains that they've been spending summer differently than they spend the rest of their time. During the last couple weeks, they've been getting ready to wake up early again and acquiring school supplies. They've got a backpack and new school supplies, and they've got clothes and shoes. And they need all these things to be successful in the new school year. What do we need to be successful as disciples? God's word is one thing. God's word was compiled by the ancestors of our faith. Our modern Protestant Bibles have 66 books. The Bible is a library full of different genres, all useful for various purposes as we desire to know God more deeply. The narrative section of the library, like Ruth and Exodus and Acts, telling stories about the people who came before us and how God impacted their faith. Poetry, like the Songs and Song of Solomon, the Psalms. Prophecy, like Isaiah and Ezekiel and Malachi and Hosea. Apocalypse, like Daniel in the Old Testament and Revelation in the New Testament. The Gospels, of course. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the epistles, like the one we're reading today. We're reading from one of 21 letters contained in the New Testament, letters written by Paul, Peter, James, John, and Jude to various early churches experiencing very specific issues related to their culture and their context. Isn't it incredible that these ancient texts can still teach us and help shape our lives in our modern context? The Bible is an incredible gift, a resource. It's the living word of God, and we have to keep its context in mind, otherwise we misuse it. It's tempting to cherry pick verses, and we do that. And when we do that, we can use the Bible to say whatever we want it to say. The Bible has been the source cited for arguments on both sides of everything. The Holy Spirit isn't mentioned at all in Colossians 3, which is interesting, but this is why keeping the holistic picture of all of Scripture in mind is so important. The Holy Spirit is essential to our success as disciples. The Holy Spirit is the advocate, the comforter that Jesus promised to send to us when he ascended into heaven after his death and resurrection. The Holy Spirit was sent because Jesus was a man who lived in a place and a time among a certain group of people. And the Holy Spirit dwells within each of us in all space and all time. And the Holy Spirit helps us to know and live in God's will. Prayer is another way that we can commune with God, the Trinity. There's no right or wrong way to pray. Sometimes in a group setting or when I'm driving, I like to pray with my eyes open. I pray with my eyes open because when we're talking to one another, we make eye contact. And when we enter into prayer, we close our eyes and we bow our heads and we separate ourselves from each other. When we close our eyes and bow our heads, we disconnect. Where in Scripture do you see an instruction to close your eyes and bow your heads? In fact, when Jesus prays, what does he do? He looks up to heaven. He looks up to where God the Father is. And so God the Father is all around us in our midst. And so there's nothing wrong with looking at one another as we pray together. There's also nothing wrong with closing your eyes if you really want to. In our time together, we believe that God has been among us and a part of our conversation and our worship, so we don't need to close our eyes, but we can if we want to. So if God already knows everything, why should we pray? Because when we pray, we join forces with God. We lift up our cares, we lean on God, we show our trust in God's purpose. Prayer is intentional. It's connectional. It's relational. God loves us so much. God wants us to not only know that God knows everything, but God wants us to trust every part of our lives to the one who holds our lives. So God wants us to pray when we're mad, when we're uncertain, when we feel lost, when life is going according to plan, and when everything is falling apart. The last thing that we need to be successful in our lives as disciples of Jesus Christ is community. Even Jesus needed disciples. He gathered disciples not to be his servants, but to be his friends and co-workers in the kingdom of God. In the story of the paralytic who was lowered through the roof, it was his friend's faith that made him well. Who you surround yourself with matters. Are you surrounded with people who support you, who cheer you on, who believe in the best version of you? Or are you surrounded by people who drag you down and bring out the worst in you? As the body of Christ, as siblings in the family of God, as heirs of God's kingdom, chosen, holy, and beloved, Paul is encouraging us to do whatever it takes to live like Jesus and to love one another. How do we actually live like Jesus? What does it look like? It looks like loving each other, serving one another, forgiving each other, and sharing why this community means so much to us. Our lesson today gives us a guide. Dress in the wardrobe God picked out for you. Compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, also known as gentleness, discipline, self-control. Be even-tempered, content with second place, quick to forgive an offense. Forgive as quickly and as completely as Jesus forgave you. And regardless of what else you put on, wear love. It's your basic all-purpose garment. Never be without it. Many of us know Chris Beers. She hasn't been a member here all that long, and last year she was diagnosed with cancer. She fought it, beat it very briefly, but it came back with a vengeance, and she hasn't been doing well for some time and is now on hospice. Death comes to us all, and it's not a pretty thing, but real love is showing up to hold space, to offer prayer, to hold a friend's hand, when they're all alone in their last days. I've gone to see Chris, but I'm virtually a stranger. Those of you who call her your friend, those of you who have gone to see her, your presence is God's love in her midst. Jesus came to serve and not to be served. He washed his disciples' feet. He healed the sick. He fed the hungry. And we are called to serve others selflessly, using our gifts and resources to make a difference in the world around us. Being of service in God's kingdom is done in many different ways, with many different gifts. Yes, Fresh Food Wednesday, of course, is one way to serve that makes an enormous impact on our community. But counting the offering, setting up and breaking down coffee, volunteering in children's ministry, are other equally important ways to be of service as a disciple of Jesus Christ. Not to mention any of you that serve on any leadership committees. God bless you. Without Jesus's radical concept of forgiveness, the church would be nothing. We are set apart. We are a set apart people because we know that we're not perfect, but because of Jesus' sacrifice, we know that God loves us at our worst so that we could be transformed through God's love into the likeness of Christ, holy and beloved children of God. Jesus was the kind of guy, the kind of God, to choose someone like Judas, knowing that he would be betrayed. To choose someone like Simon Peter, knowing he would be denied 3 times. And if Jesus chose people like that, then of course he chooses you too. And since we're forgiven for all that we've done wrong against God, our neighbors, and ourselves, God thinks we should be willing to forgive others. Jesus taught his disciples to forgive 70 times 7. And that's not an easy thing. It's certainly easy to say, but it's not easy to do. It's one of those things that requires prayer and surrender and trust in God's love, because we know that God loves us and wants the best for us. But also, God loves whoever it was that hurt us. I think freedom and forgiveness go hand in hand. Freedom from anger and bitterness, freedom from a relationship that causes harm. We can forgive people who hurt us and let them go. We don't have to stay in proximity to people who continue to hurt us. Finally, we love, serve, and forgive in this community and in our lives as a witness to the world about who God is and how God wants to be known in the world. So Paul says, let the peace of Christ keep you in tune with each other, in step with each other. None of this going off and doing your own thing. I was in marching band. I can't say how important it is to be in tune and in step with one another if you're in marching band. It's really, really important. Nobody can multitask better than people in marching band. You're memorizing music, you're memorizing steps, you're making sure that you know where you're going at all times so you can make a crisp, clear image for people in the stands to see that you'll never see yourself. You see it on a piece of paper at the beginning of the season and you know where your spot is. You are a part in a whole. And if one person is off, even just a little bit, it can throw everything off. Here and elsewhere in Paul's letter, he talks about unity, about being of one mind. We all think differently. We hold different opinions. So when we come together as the body of Christ, we say the Lord's Prayer, and we say our breakthrough prayer, and we sing to the Lord together. We are uniting our minds together to be in harmony, to be in step, to be in unity with each other, so that when we are not singing or saying the Lord's Prayer, we can find agreement as we sit around a board table and have a discussion about what paint to use. Finally, we lay our lives down as an offering, as we remember to let every detail of our lives be an offering to God. Our words, our actions, whatever, to be done in the name of Jesus, thanking God every step of the way. Our lives are a witness to the movement of God, but when we eat at a good restaurant, or we experience superior customer service, or we go on an outstanding trip, we're quick to tell people about it. So as we move into a time of prayer, consider what you say about our church. When you talk about where you worship, consider what you say about why you're a believer and why being here on Sunday makes any difference in your life. Let us pray. Almighty God, you clothe us with compassion and kindness, with mercy and forgiveness. And we thank you for your presence in our lives. We ask that you would help us to be even more like you with everything we think, say, and do. We lift up those around us who are hurting right now, who are grieving, who are suffering. And we pray that you would help us to love and serve, to be in those gentle moments, to offer kindness and compassion. We pray that you would be with us as your Holy Spirit, to give us the words to say and to know when not to say them. Lead us and guide us that we might be more like you. And so we pray together the prayer that leads us as the gathering at Scott Memorial. God, help us to gather with you to feed the body, mind, and spirit while being Christ's hands and feet. Help us to love and serve our local community. In Jesus' name we pray.